Why did God give us spiritual gifts? An important question that needs a precise answer. We've been looking at the subject of spiritual gifts over the last couple of weeks. In chapter 12, we saw that God's sovereignty in the distribution of gifts and how those gifts are distinct from one another, each having a different purpose or use, but they all work together. Just as he used the illustration of a body, and because the hand isn't the foot, can't say, I have no need of thee, and so forth and so on. Chapter 13, we looked at the preeminence of love, the priority of love over the use of spiritual gifts, because spiritual gifts were temporal in their nature. But now we come to the 14th chapter, and we want to look at specifically how spiritual gifts are to be exercised. And we really need to answer the question, why did God give spiritual gifts? It's interesting to note that the exercise of spiritual gifts is one of those things that makes a difference between Old Testament Israel and the New Testament church. Old Testament Israel, there was only one family, tribe of Levi, that were allowed to minister of the things of God. Whereas in the New Testament church, as we noted in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, every one of us has been given a spiritual gift. Every single person. Well, what is the purpose? Why did he do that? I want to, before we get into 1 Corinthians 14, go back to the passage I quickly noted last week, Ephesians chapter 4, because there we have, I think, the answer to the question in very precise terms. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Now, he's only mentioning four gifts here, but I think the principle applies to all. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. There is the general purpose of all spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are for the work of the ministry. Every one of us has been called to ministry. Maybe not on a vocational basis, but on a lifestyle basis, we are all called to minister. There's not one of us who has an excuse not to minister. In fact, one of the most wonderful verses in the New Testament is Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for men. If anyone would have an excuse to say, wait on me, it would have been the Lord Jesus Christ. But he came for the purpose of ministry. And ministry, always, in every circumstance, involves doing something for the benefit of somebody else. In essence, that's all ministry. Doing something for the benefit of somebody else. Particularly, the last part of the verse, for the edifying, and the word edify literally means to build up. For the building up of the body of Christ. Every spiritual gift has as its basic function an enablement for ministry, for the saint of God, the child of God, to do something for somebody else that will build up in some way or another the body of Christ. There you go. With that in mind, come with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Unfortunately, that was not the understanding that the Corinthians had of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, let me put it this way, are to be exercised upon holy ground. Corinthians thought that spiritual gifts were to be exercised on the playground. They delighted in making a show, a spectacular show. Rather than ministering to somebody else, the exercise of the gift was, look at me! So the more spectacular the gift, the more it drew attention to themselves. And that's why Paul is writing these chapters on the exercise of spiritual gifts. They got the purpose all wrong. And it's very important that we get the purpose right. Follow along with me, because he's going to contrast two gifts. The gift of prophecy and the gift of speaking in tongues. And I'm going to get a new clicker. There we go. going to put a contrast that he has here up on the screen for you tonight. First one, follow after charity or love. Now, he's just saying that love is superior to the exercise of spiritual gifts. And he says, I want you to follow after that. But on the other hand, don't go to the other extreme and neglect spiritual gifts because God's given them for a purpose. Desire spiritual gifts. Hopefully, have everybody in your assembly exercising the gift that God has ministered to one another. And what's that going to do? It's going to build up the body. But he says, I want you to put a priority to things, rather that you may prophesy. Why is it that he was choosing prophecy over everything else? Well, back in chapter 12 and verse 28, he gave a priority of some of the gifts. It says here, and God has set some in the church first. Most important thing, the apostles. They were the ones who laid down the foundation of the church. They set the church in motion. They gave order and direction to the church. Secondarily, prophets. They're giving biblical revelation of the New Testament. Thirdly, teachers, those who will take that revelation and communicate it to the children of God, the New Testament church, and teach them what everything needs. Means after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues comes in last place. Of all the gifts, and it's important, it's there, but the first one is prophecy. The last one is the exercise of tongues. And he says here in verse 1, I want you to seek after the exercise of all the gifts, but give attention to, give priority the gift of prophecy. Why is that? Verse 2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue. The word unknown in your Bibles is in italics, meaning it's not in the original. It's been added by the translators, hopefully, to make things clearer. Unfortunately, in many cases, it's made the waters muddier. The tongue that he is speaking of here, and we'll see this in just a little bit, is a language of the world. It was unknown to the person speaking it. Let me ask a question here tonight. Does anyone here speak French? Anyone know French? Is that it? Oh, bon Dieu. Je parle en français un petit. I can say anything in French here tonight and nobody will know.
I can speak French a little bit.
Wait a minute. You just lied.
We use a lot of French words we don't realize.
Remember, no filthiness.
We were over in France when we went over for a missionary trip one time. And a lot of the words, we could pick up on everything.
Man, see, the problem was, when I was in fourth grade, the school that I was attending started everyone in French class in fourth grade. Yeah, I think so too. Actually, the year that I started in fourth grade, they changed their standards and started third graders with French. So I had French in fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, tenth grade. I had 7 years of French. I started in 11th grade. I was so sick of it, I quit. All my grades went up after I quit French. I remember about that much. But I was hoping that, and I said she lied, but she's accurate. She doesn't speak it, but she understood what I said. So you were accurate. I take back my insult. I'll have to find something else to get you with here tonight. But I was hoping I could use this as a great illustration to speak in a known language of the world, but unknown to you. Unknown to everybody but Becky. He that speaks in an unknown language speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and to exhortation and comfort. Number one, gift of tongues when exercised is heard by man. but for the most part without understanding. Unless somebody was there that knew the language en petit, a little. Gift of prophecy, on the other hand, heard by man with understanding. Which would you rather have? Something that you could understand? Would you rather have me preach to you in English tonight or French? Say French, because it would make a very short message. Obviously, you want to hear something that you could understand. If I spoke here in French tonight, you would go away saying, that was a waste of time. Not only that, the gift of prophecy provides edification, exhortation, and comfort. Because you understand it, I can use that to these purposes. I can build you up because I'm giving you biblical revelation. I can exhort you. I can encourage you to do things. Or I can comfort you in the area of tragedies or whatever. I think the message this morning was a message of comfort. It's all biblical revelation. However, if I'm speaking a language that you don't understand, you're not going to get any of that stuff. You don't see that here. Well, you say, you're still speaking to God. Isn't that good? Let me ask you a question. Does God need you to speak in a language that you don't understand? Fact of the matter is, God understands every language. You don't have to have a special language to speak to God. He understands you in your native tongue. So when he says you're speaking unto God, that's not necessarily a good thing. In fact, in the context, it's the only one who understands you is God. And the purpose of spiritual gifts is not to minister to God, but to minister to other people for God. So that kind of ruins it right there. Verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? But he that prophesies edifies the church. So we got singular versus a corporate edification. And people will say, well, he's edifying himself. That's good. No, it's not. It's not the purpose of the gift. The purpose of the gift is to minister to the body for the purpose of building up the body, not yourself. Now, the problem with when you edify yourself in this context is you say to yourself, well, God's working pretty mightily through me. And I would imagine that even the right exercise of the gift of tongues or any of the gifts, the person exercising would say, hey, that was neat. I got to minister for God. I'll never, ever forget the first time I got to preach. Man, that was a wonderful thing. Probably it was a lousy message, but it was a wonderful thing that I could get up in front of people and preach the Word of God. I was all excited about that. Still am to this day. You know, and I came away and I said to myself, Reiner, I think you've got something here. You're pretty good. And then Carol told me just how many mistakes I made. No, she didn't. That true story, though. When I went into the ministry, first pastorate back in Marietta, Ohio, I asked her to be critical of my preaching. I wanted communicating. I wanted to of my grammar. Well, that's okay. I'm explaining it. I wanted her to see. She's still doing it. I wanted her to notice if I had subject verb agreement correctly, that I was using adjectives or adverbs in the right place, and pronouncing words correctly and that type of thing. Because I had spent 4 years in West Virginia. And it wasn't pretty. No, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't the greatest when I went to West Virginia, but it was really bad after I came away from West Virginia. So I wanted her to note these things so that I could improve upon my communication skills. And after the first message, I came up to her, and I knew I made a mistake here and there. I said, what'd you catch? She said, do you really want to know? I knew I was in trouble. She had a list. Person edifies themselves is not the purpose of the gift. Verse 5. I would that you all spoke with tongues. That'd be a fantastic thing. We could reach the world with speaking in the languages of the world, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesy than he that speaks with tongue, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Again, we come back here. Unless someone is able to interpret, if I'm speaking in French, and I think I'll say something else and I'll have Becky interpret for me. Gift of tongues, you have to have someone interpret it to give it any value. Whereas prophecy, when I'm speaking in your native language, the Word of God, you don't need interpretation other than the teaching of it. Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? It's not the language that I speak in that's important. It's what I speak that's really important. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? Let me try something on you. Finish what I am about to proclaim. There's one word missing. You'll add the last word. Da-da-da-da-da-da. How'd you know that? I didn't say a single word. All I did was make a sound. Da-da-da-da-da-da. But everyone knows, charge means go forward, attack. If I play, isn't that reveille?
Means... Oh, okay. You've got to get up in the morning.
Maybe I better play it for you guys. You've all fallen asleep here. I thought that was a known one. The bugler out on the battlefield would give commands to the army by the sounds that they make. What if you go... Makes no sense at all, does it? Well, it's musical. It's a sound. But everyone would go, what happened to the bugler? Makes no... They wouldn't know what to do with that. So likewise, ye, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. If you don't understand, what good is it? Do you know, I was contemplating the other day, I was listening to the birds. And I was thinking, those birds are talking to each other. They know what each other means. I don't have the slightest idea of what the birds are saying, but they know. And that's the idea here, what he's saying. And there's so many kinds of voices, even the voice of birds or other animals. Flipper. Flipper knew what he was saying. I have no idea what means. Dolphins do. Wherefore, verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. There's the key. Well, how's that work out? Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, some have taken this verse to say that, well, tongues then are a special language, a special prayer language. I ask you again, what language does God need to hear from you in order to make your prayers effective? The one that you speak. Yeah, the one you understand. God knows all the languages That just boggles my mind every time I think of it. We come here Wednesday night for prayer meeting, and there's usually, give or take, about 20 of us. And 20 people are praying. Well, not all 20, because we break up into little groups, but maybe 10 people, 8 people are praying at the exact same time. And God hears all 8 and understands them. And not only here, but churches all over the place and people in their homes all over the world are praying at the same time. And God understands them. He hears every single voice. Man, that blows my mind. Do you ever get in between two conversations that are going on at the same time? Two people over here speaking to each other and two people on this side of you are speaking to each other, and you're in the middle and you're going, and you're catching neither of the, you catch a word here, you catch a word there, but you have no idea what either of them is speaking about. Limitations of human abilities. And God says, I know all the world at the single time, and all the different languages. Blows my mind. But if I pray in a language that I don't understand, my spirit may be praying, but what good is it doing? Paul says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. In other words, I'll pray in the language that I understand so that when I ask God for something, I know what I'm asking Him. And therefore, when God grants whatever it is that I'm asking Him for, I can praise Him for the answer to my prayer. But if I pray in a language that I don't understand what I'm asking for, how will I know if God's ever answered the prayer? And because I don't know that He's answered it, how will I give Him thanks for the answering of it? God misses out on that. If I sing with the Spirit, and the implication here is that if my worship to God is in a language that I don't understand, am I really worshiping God? Paul said, no, I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, saying he understands not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Purpose of spiritual gifts, repeat after me, is for the work of the ministry to edify the body. Verse 18, I thank my God. Not yet. Hold on. There we go. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, get ready, Roy, this is what I was referring to either. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown language or tongue. In the Greek language, 10,000 was the next thing to infinity. That's as high as their counting system went. So when he says 10,000, he's talking about as many as possible that they could understand. And he says, I would rather preach 5 words with my understanding. Now get this, Paul was a preacher. What preacher is satisfied preaching just 5 words? The comparison here is literally the opposite ends. Next to infinity to nothing. And he said, I'll take the next to nothing over the next to infinity with understanding. Brethren, and here we go, the last part. Be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding men. I don't want you to act childlike except in the area of how you relate to another. Have that kid friendship type thing. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. He is quoting the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was written just a little bit before Jeremiah was written. It is what's called a pre-exilic book. It is a message of judgment upon the people of Israel for their idolatry, and just like Jeremiah, you're going into captivity. And there God says, I am going to speak to this people. Who's this people? the nation of Israel. That's the this people. The Jews. With a people who speak a language other than their own. That would have been the Babylonians in his day. They're going to speak a language and you're not going to understand the language. And the speaking of the language is going to be, hey, we're here to overtake you guys. We're here to conquer you. You're going back into captivity with us. Your days here in this land are done. That was their message. Wherefore, verse 22, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, that would be Christians, but to them that believe not, unsaved people. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So, last thing is, given for the benefit of unbelieving Jews, given for the benefit of believing saints. By the way, if you do a little study through the book of Acts, and notice every time the exercise of speaking in tongues is found, you will always find it in the company of Jewish people. Every single incident. It's always there's a group of Jews present. When the people speak in tongues, it's a message that judgment is coming upon these people for the rejection of Christ. Interestingly enough, that judgment came in 70 AD when the Roman general came down and wiped out Jerusalem. Do you know what happened right after 70 AD? Gift of tongues disappeared. No one was speaking in tongues anymore. History records that other than a few heretical groups, nobody was speaking in tongues. Why? It served its purpose. Oh, what's really interesting, if you go back, look at the Church of Corinth, Paul came to Corinth, and as his usual methodology was, he went first to the Jews, to their synagogue there. And when they said, we don't want you anymore, he went right next door, founded the church. The church in Corinth was sitting right next to the Jewish synagogue. But these people were saying, oh, if we could speak in these unknown languages, man, we'd really look good. Well, the purpose was to make the unbelieving Jews realize they need to come to faith in Christ. That's how the body would be built up. But they were saying, look at me. Every spiritual gift has as its basic function ministry. Ministering to somebody else for the purpose of building up the body. That applies. You say, I don't have, these two gifts, speaking in tongues and the gift of prophecy, have ceased. So what does that have to do with us today? Well, you have a spiritual gift, at least one, if not two, if not three, if not four, if not ten. What are you doing with them? Are you using them like the Corinthians to say, look at me? Or are you using them like the Lord Jesus Christ, not with spiritual gift, but to minister and give your life a ransom for many? That's the purpose of those gifts. Let's see that we use them for the right purpose. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our study here tonight. Lord, we thank you for the sovereign distribution of gifts that you've given to us. We thank you that they work together as we come together as a body. We thank you that no matter how few or how many gifts we have, that as long as we exercise them in love, we can accomplish great and wonderful things. But Lord, may we use our gifts that you've given to us for the purpose that you've intended them to be used for. Father, that they might be to the building up the body of Christ, that your church will be complete. To that end, we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Have a good week.